My name's Richard Davies. The date, the 21st of August 2011. I have the great honour to interview Enid Hall, a very long time resident in Ferguson and Wellington Mill. Now, one special occasion which I need to mention before we start is that Enid celebrated her 68th wedding anniversary yesterday, and she had the pleasure of enjoying that with her husband Tom. So Enid, when were you born?
I was born the 29th of May 1924 in Bunbury, but I lived my life on my grandfather's farm at Ferguson, John Fowler.
And your present address, are you living in Wellington Mill?
Yes, well, my present address is 564 Wellington Mills Road, Wellington Mills.
Right, the old mill manager's house, in
yes, fact.
Very fine old residence. Now, had you many siblings when you were born? Were you the first or...?
Yes, I was the eldest, and I had a sister and brother. So my first memories of Wellington Mills was when I came up to a sports day when I was about 6 years old. And they had wonderful sports days in those days. And I ran a running race and got 2 shillings, which I thought was a fortune in those days. And how we got there, I don't know, but it was a lovely day. And they used to have beautiful sports days, large crowds, wood chops, all sorts of things. And really the railway line went through my grandfather's property for about a mile.
And your grandfather's property was John approximately Fowler. 8 miles.
No, it was about 3 miles.
Three miles from Wellington Mill.
Yes.
And what sort of stock was your grandfather running?
Well, he had a sheep. We had a sheep farm, and so we used to hear the train blow the whistle up at a rocky bend, and we'd sometimes run down the hill and up the other side to the little siding that was up above on the crossroad. Every crossroad had a siding. There was one further down called the 9 Mile, which would have been a very busy siding because it served all of Upper Ferguson. Then there was another one called the 8 Mile and another one called the 5 Mile. And they used to pick up any produce that the farmers left there, the train used to, and bring back anything that was for the farmers. They'd bring back and leave in the siding for them.
So the main transport of stock and produce was on the railway line?
Yes.
Were the roads very good or...?
Well, they were pretty narrow and pretty windy.
Yeah.
But the roads were there.
And at your schooling, you...
Yes, I went for 8 years to the Ferguson School. And it was all school in those days. We didn't have any outings, but we did go when I was about 12 or 13. We went to Bunbury and went over HMAS Sydney. And thinking back, that was quite, after what happened to the poor old Sydney, it was something to remember, wasn't it?
Mm, yes. And that, I think you were saying that was approximately 1937.
Yes, about 1937. So then, when I was 14, I went to Wellington Mills to help this lady who'd just had a big operation, and that was an eye-opener because it was still all these streets, and the O'Neills lived in the hospital next door.
Was the hospital active?
No. No, the hospital closed when the mill closed.
And what year was the closure of the mill?
The mill closed in 1918, but it still had little spot mills and there was still sleeper cutting going on.
I see. And
so the timber was still being taken away in even up until about 1934. The train still ran and they took timber away and sleepers.
Yes. And so at that time, when you were 14, in effect, 1938, was it?
Mm.
1938, what was Wellington Mill like?
Well, it was still very busy and still lots of houses, but a lot of houses were sold during the war because you couldn't buy building material during the war. So a lot of people bought those houses.
Mm.
But when we came up to live in 1935, we did up an old, 1945, we did up an old house and lived there for quite a few years. Well, then it was a very fascinating place because there were still parts of the old mill there. There was the sawdust heaps. There was all sorts of stuff lying around. And the carriage was still there and the train was still there. And I used to put my kids up in the train to play. And talking to the people of Wellington who went to school there, the kids had a marvellous time in the train and the carriage.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't being used at that time.
No, mm-hmm. It wasn't being used at that time. Sitting there.
So when did they stop using the railway line?
Well, I'd say about 1934.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Although they still used the railway line. Mr. Ferris was the caretaker after the mill closed, and he often went down on the trolley to Dardanup. Before that trolley, they used to have one of those funny old ones, you know, that worked by two people pushing
yes.
and pulling.
Yes.
Yes. My dad often rode on that trolley.
Mm-hmm.
It took two or three men to do with that. All right, going down to Dardanup, but coming up, it was uphill. But the railway line followed the river all the way to Dardanup.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the first place, it was called the Ferguson River Railway.
Oh, really?
When it was first built.
Yeah. So, what happened to the railway line and, say, the old engine?
Well, after the fire went through, it burnt out all the railway bridges and road bridges. And so in the 1950s, about 1955, of course the carriage was burnt, but the train was still there. They took the train away to be cut up. And you know, we were silly not to have kept that train. We shouldn't have let it go.
Mm. Do you have a memory of the fire?
Mm.
Do you have a memory of the fire? Were you?
Oh, yes, it was devastating. We had three little kids at the time and Tom had a broken leg. So we packed up our car with all our valuables and went over to my uncle's place at Loudon, and some men from Donnybrook looked after our place. And so by the time we'd got over to Loudon, the fire was there behind us.
Really? How did you make that journey?
We had it in our car.
Right.
Yes.
When you returned to your house, to the mill manager's house, what had happened to it?
Well, when we went to live there, there was a corner of the veranda had been burnt, and old Mr. Sagami had managed to put the fire out. And he put out all the little spot fires that started, and he was an old man. He was running around putting out fires. He was exhausted by that night, but he saved the house. And all the houses that were occupied were saved. The only houses that burnt down were the ones that had nobody in them. Everybody that stayed with their houses saved them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a devastating fire. The whole area looked absolutely shocking because there wasn't a green leaf left on the trees. It was really a devastating fire.
How did they get water to fight that fire?
They didn't have water. They all fought it with bags and bushes and things.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had any equipment in those days like they have now.
Mm.
But no, that's all they had. Some people may have had pack sprays, but I don't know of anybody that did. I know my parents fought the fire with bags, wet bags.
Right. And let's just go back to your first home, being brought up with your brother and sister. Tell me about the facilities that you had there. How did you cool meat?
We had a cool gutty safe,
right,
where you put water in top and pieces of rag over the sides and keep the hessian wet.
Yeah.
And that's what we had when I was young, and that's what we had when we got married.
And for lighting?
Kerosene lamps.
Right.
And eventually we got a kerosene fridge, which was absolutely marvellous.
And how would you manage for water at home?
The water first tank, home? Rainwater tanks.
Rainwater. So you'd bucket it in?
No, well, we had it laid onto the sink. And
right.
Yes.
So would you pump the water?
No, nobody had any pumps, no. Most houses were built near rivers in those days, so they could get water from the river if they ran out.
Yeah. And then, by comparison, when you married Tom and moved to live in Wellington Mill, or just outside Wellington Mill, what sort of facilities did you have then?
Just the same. Just the Mrs. Potts irons and scrubbing board and cool gutty safe and kerosene lamps. Yes.
And then
I think one of the most devastating things that happened when I was at Wellington, besides the fire, was when the school closed. It took the whole heart out of our district. The school closed and they all came down to Dardanup. And at the end of 1971, the school closed. And at the end of 1971, the forest department closed and they went to Collie. And then in 1972, in June, the post office closed. Well, that was another thing that brought us all together. So we went on to automatic telephones then, and that's why the post office closed. So that was that sort of left everybody a bit bereft, because it was sort of took the heart out of the district.
Hmm.
Considering what was there before when the mill was going, I mean, it was a very thriving town with shops, butcher shops, bakery and tea rooms all the doctor's residence and accountant's places, and the big mill office was there, and streets of houses. And they weren't very big houses, they were only little places, but they brought up big families in those homes. And then there was the single men's quarters, there was quite a few of those. And then there was the bush camps. There was two bush camps with two lines. One line went way out around to Mount Leonard, and the other one went right out the bush going towards Collie, I suppose, way out that way. And so they must have had at least two trains to serve those two railway lines that went out in the bush.
Tell me about the misfortune to the Queen Jarrah.
Yes, well, the Queen Jarrah was, and the King Jarrah, were two trees that the forest minister in Perth had asked the manager to save. And so while he was away and the mill was closing, the men decided what was the use of leaving the Queen Jarrah there. They'd just as well cut it down, and they did. And they had a photographer there to record it all. And what a shame it was, because it was right in the town. And I can remember the big stump. I used to put my kids up on the big stump to play. And if it was still there, it'd be a great attraction.
And
because the King Jarrah got badly burnt when the fire came through, burnt a big hollow in it.
You could almost drive a small car through it, couldn't you?
Yes.
Mm. What are your memories of pleasurable times in the Ferguson and at Wellington Mill?
Well, we used to play tennis and dances, I suppose. During the war, we had Red Cross dances every month, so that that was something to look forward to. But otherwise, it was a pretty quiet life, really.
Had you had you any singing or music?
Only school. In school we had singing. Mm-hmm. We had all sorts in school. No, that's... I can't think of any. No, we didn't have any.
What about your memories of the sounds in the mill?
Well, the sounds had stopped when we went up there, but we can remember the train blowing the whistle going through my grandfather's property. That was always a thrill, just to hear the whistle. And sometimes we'd run up and get in the siding and watch it go past. That used to give us a thrill.
And you and Tom used to go down to Pemberton for your annual holiday.
Yes, we used to go down to Pemberton and we'd hear the mill whistle blow in the morning and we'd hear it blow at lunchtime and we'd think that was just how it would have been at Wellington.
So, Enid, I need to ask you, I'd love to ask you, about your visit to HMAS Sydney.
Yes, well, that was... We didn't think much of it. That we were excited to go over it in those days, and the thing that I really remember about it was the guns. We thought we were quite intrigued with all those guns, and we went all over it. I wish I could remember more of it, but it was, thinking back now, how lucky we were to have done that.
How was the tour conducted?
It was a school group. Our teacher took us there. We had an English teacher who we couldn't get over him. He used to play sport with us and he was really a marvellous teacher and we taught him how to play marbles. And we used to win marbles off him to start with, but in the finish he got quite good at it. Nobody plays marbles these days, I don't think.
Once you finished school, you went immediately to work up in Wellington Mill, looking after a lady.
Yes, only for a couple of weeks there, but as I got older, during the war, my cousin had a cream run. He used to go way up as far as Nogger up one day and right out around Thompson's Brook the next day. And his man was called up in the army. So my sister and I helped him out fortnight about. It was heavy work. We both hurt our backs. Cream cans are very heavy to lift. Cans of cream are really heavy. His truck had a gas producer on it. Oh my gosh, we used to get filthy. Yes. The only time we used petrol was to go up some of the hills. The gas producer just didn't make it sometimes. And it was always causing trouble, but a lot of people with trucks had gas producers in those days. Petrol was rationed. It was hard to get. So when I got married and we went up to Wellington Mills, it was, I found it quite a fascinating life because you could walk around, there was no fences, all the houses had picket fence around it, but there was no fences around the area like there is now. And you could walk anywhere. You could walk all around where the mill used to be and all the old bits of rubbish that was there and we found all these old tools and things. We've still got them. It was really kids. It was a kid's paradise. They would have loved it. All my kids loved it and they played in the trains. So, and played on the sawdust heaps. When the fire went through, the mill manager's house, the mill office was burnt down and, such a lot of empty buildings that were there. And I suppose, looking back, it was, it really altered the whole place once the fire had gone through because there was just nothing left.
Were your children schooled In Wellington Mill?
Yes. They all went to the school. Not the school that was burnt down. None of mine went there. There was two schools. There was one for juniors and one for seniors. And the schoolhouse, well, that all went. The kids just got out of school in time. Got down the valley. The school teacher took them down in the valley. And the funny thing is, instead of saving the school records, she saved a clock and a chair. Yes. But, yeah, so... But there were some funny incidents up there. I suppose there's a lot that I don't know, but the one I do know was when my dad... Three of the men from Wellington in an old trolley that you pushed and pulled. I think they called them Kalamazoos, did they? They picked him up down at the siding and they went on down and caught the train to Bunbury to a cricket match. And two of the men got drunk and Dad and the other chap had to do all the work to get back up to Wellington. And just before they got to Wellington, the two drunk chaps had a fight and they rolled down a steep bank. And the other two men had to put some stones behind the trolley to stop it running back to Dardanup. And rescued them and put them on board and took them home. Then they had to raise some other men to take Dad back down to the farm. So I think I'd have left them down there. They wouldn't have known anything till morning.
Right, let's try another. Enid, you mentioned earlier that your grandfather and other farmers in the district were supplying fodder and other food to Wellington Mill.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
No, I can't. I think they would have put the chaff into the siding and the trains would have picked them up and carried them up here to Wellington, up to Wellington. And there was big feed sheds there, and during the war, the Army 10th Light Horse camped there. And it was a wonderful sight seeing them going back down the road on the road going into Bunbury with all these 10th Light Horse all in their full uniform and all the horses. So they did their jungle training out around Mount Leonard and they camped at Wellington Mills. And that probably was 1941 or 42, somewhere around that. And
the fodder that was supplied, what was that used for?
Well, that was just chaff.
And was that was essentially to the horses that
yes.
were being used?
Yes, they probably had paddocks, but I think there was about 80 horses. And so they'd need a fair bit of fodder. So all the farmers in the area would have supplied that. And the horses, they had the big feed sheds somewhere over near the sports ground. So that probably was good for the farms as well.
And did the horses pulling the whims bring the timber into the railway line?
Yes.
Where was the timber going?
It was all then the trains would bring it into the mill to be cut up.
Yeah.
And then it was all taken away to Bunbury.
And was that for export or for?
Yes, mainly export, and a lot of it was used for building houses. But during the Depression, when there was very few houses being built, that's why the mill really closed, because of the Depression. But nobody seemed to...
Can we also go back to the fire? It's on top of the Depression. Is there some, you know, was that the beginning of enormous changes.
What, after the fire?
Mm.
Well, there wasn't much of a change, no. The houses that were burnt were empty ones. And gradually the roads and bridges were built. I suppose the railway bridges were devastated. I mean, if the railway bridges had been still there, they often used to say they could have brought Leshnot Lady up through there. But the bridges were all gone, so that didn't eventuate. But it would have been nice. I think the biggest change would have been during the First World War, when a lot of the men went off. They would have missed a lot of the men. And actually, there was two boys from Wellington Mills who were found at Fromelles in France. And one was a Knable. Well, the Knables lived there till they were very old people. They lived just near the men's billiard hall. And they were a Swiss couple who came out to work at Wellington in the early days.
So when you first went to Wellington Mill and won that race, the population and the people around you, it was quite a thriving community.
It was a big thriving community, yes.
And were they all employed, within the forestry?
Within the mill, mm-hmm. Yes. For the mill. All mill workers. That although they had, postmistress. Mrs. Hume was the postmistress there for years and years, and then Joan Gardner was postmistress for years, and then Margaret Gardner took over after Joan left. So she was there when the post office closed. That was the end of an era, really.
So you earlier mentioned how what is to become the new park in the centre of Wellington Mill. How was that in your memory?
Well, that was full of houses in my memory, and the tea rooms was down the bottom near the railway line, and the boarding house was near the railway line. The railway line went right past the houses, and the tea rooms were right there, and the shops were a bit further along, and all that area was full of houses. And then after the fire went through, the boarding house was still there and another house, and then a few years later the forest department used that for a pine nursery, and they grew young pines there, ready to plant pines in the area. And now, of course, and the boarding house was closed, was sold to the butchers in Dardanup, and they pulled it down and rebuilt it in Dardanup at the Finizzi's and Garbellini's butcher shop. So, and the other house that was there, they bought that too. So that left all that area with nothing there. And so nowadays they're planting a park there, planting trees, and it's all been landscaped. Should be nice one day when it all grows up.
Was the boarding house the sort of place where dignitaries could stay?
No.
What happened to that building?
Well, that was the building they pulled down.
Right.
Sold to the butchers in Dardanup.
But you mentioned building that had wonderful lining of...
That was the boarding house.
Right.
It had beautiful polished jarrah lining, yes, all of the rooms. But I'm not too sure what was in the cottage that was for visiting dignitaries where Mr. and Mrs. Ferris lived. He was the caretaker of the mill after it closed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for visiting dignitaries, and they had a housekeeper there who looked after them. And it was a nice old place. Verandas all around, something like ours. The manager's house, yes.
And the churches, what happened to them?
Well, one church went to Stratham, and it's still there. The other, the Catholic church, went to Waterloo, and that was pulled down years ago. And the Alexander Hall went to Elgin. It's nothing like what it used would have looked. I think it's got asbestos on the outside now, but that's what it was originally, the hall at Elgin. And I don't know where any of the others went. I wouldn't know where the hospital went.
What was the Alexander Hall named after, and what was it used for?
That was used for dances and pictures. They used to have the pictures up there.
Mm-hmm.
And people from round about used to go up. My dad and them used to ride their horses up to the pictures.
Was that monthly or every
week?
Well,
I don't know. Probably was monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have dances there.
Mm.
So that was where they all gathered, I suppose. But they did have the men's billiard hall, which was and a library. And that's where the kids had their schooling once when the school burnt down. So that came in handy.
When you're ready again to start.
Enid, can you describe to me where you live now, the mill managers, the Wellington Mill Manager's House? What was it like?
Well, it's a huge house. It's got, out the back it's got three verandas, and around the front it's got three verandas. And I think we've got, I can't remember now, but we've got seven chimneys, seven fireplaces in the building. Every room's got a fireplace. And I think we've got 16 or 17 doors, because you walk around the verandas to get into all the rooms. So there's doors everywhere. We've got six wire doors onto the different rooms. So it is a big place, and I come to the conclusion that the manager must have been an important person, a mill manager. But on the corner between the corner overlooking the mill, there's a couple of iron rings where the manager used to have
sling his hammock.
Hammock, yes. Had a hammock there, and they say he used to lie there and be able to look over to see what was going on at the mill, make sure everybody was doing their jobs. So it was it's a quite a big building, and it's built up high off the ground in the front. I suppose it's 9 foot high off the ground in the front. And out the back it's flat on the ground. So it's quite a big building. And to build something like that now with all the timber that's in it, well, you probably couldn't do it anyway. You couldn't get the jarrah.
And you mentioned Mrs. Wheatman.
Mrs. Wheatman, they lived on a farm. They came from Victoria and they lived on a farm. Her parents' name was Muir, and she married a Mr. Wheatman, and they lived just near the mill. And she used to teach at Wellington until she got married. Then when the war came, the Second World War, they had to call on her again to come back because they were short of teachers. And some of my kids, she was the only teacher they had, which I don't suppose it was good, but that was the only teacher they knew. And of course, as she got older, she got a bit deaf. The kids used to be able to do a bit of talking and she couldn't hear them. But she was a great teacher. She taught till she was about 67, until the war finished.
Mm. Wonderful.
After the war, long after the war, she was still teaching. So it was, they were well-known people in the district, and a lot of their farm has been divided up into little farmlets now, and nowadays we've got quite a few people living in Wellington, but it did go down to almost nothing there for a while. But lots of new houses have gone up in the area.
Well, Enid, thank you so much for recording all this. I have the clear impression that we've only touched the surface.
Yes.
I do hope that at a later
time... It would be nice if we could go back into time and see what things were like in those days, wouldn't it?
We'll walk over the whole area. I'm sure that would bring out all kinds of memories too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Many thanks, Enid.
Righto, thank you.